You're listening to Cinema Jaw Retro Review, recorded on location at Cards Against Humanity in Chicago. My name is still Matt Kay, and with me is still
Ry the Movie Guy. I like these retro reviews.
It's something different.
It is.
It's fun.
We've been celebrating Anne Hathaway all month of February, and we promised as soon as we came saying this was Anne Hathaway month, we said we're doing a sidecar review of Rachel Getting Married.
Largely touted as her best performance, Ryan.
We would always ask guests, Jawheads, you probably had heard, what is your favorite Anne Hathaway performance? Time and time again, each guest answered, Rachel Getting Married.
Yeah, definitely.
This was a film I saw when it came out in 2008. I saw it in the theaters. Matt, I think this was your first time.
This was. And it's always good to catch up with a classic. This did not disappoint.
So let's set the stage, Matt. Back in 2008, Anne Hathaway was about to burst into a Hollywood superstar. Best known for her role in The Princess Diaries, she graduated into adult roles with the films Brokeback Mountain in 2005, and The Devil Wears Prada in 2006. Now what she needed was a solid indie drama to flex her acting muscles and show the world just how talented she is.
Director Jonathan Demme was riding high on his success in Philadelphia and Silence of the Lambs when he teamed up with screenwriter Jenny Lumet to create Rachel Getting Married. A departure from his style at the time, he concentrated on handhelds and nearly a Dogma 95 style of cinematic minimalism that gave the picture a documentary feel at times. This only served to create an even more beautiful, intimate, and human viewing experience.
This is our retro review of Rachel Getting Married.
We are gathered here to celebrate love, pure and simple. Rachel is pure, Sydney is simple.
Rachel Getting Married opens up with Kim, played by Anne Hathaway, waiting to be picked up from what seems to be a rehab center. She has short hair, smokes, and conveys an attitude we have never seen from her before. It's her father who picks her up. These scenes in the car are filmed with handheld cameras and give us extreme close-ups of the characters. This style of filming tells us what we are about to see is going to be a personal and intimate story. Kim is coming home because her sister Rachel is getting married. Once home and interacting with her family, in particular her sister, we start to ask questions in our minds. What kind of relationship does she have with Rachel? Why is she in rehab? What role will she play in the wedding? We slowly get answers to these questions. Anne Hathaway's performance is no doubt a showstopper, but I love how the story unfolds to give us the backstory of these characters. Matt, do you feel the same about Hathaway's performance and like the story as much as I did?
Yes. Though she has at times received the ire of the internet, I don't think there's ever been a doubt that Anne Hathaway can act, and that is on full display in Rachel Getting Married. As the movie progresses and we learn more and more about the damage she has wrought on herself and her family, only the stoniest of stoics' heart is not breaking for her. In particular, the scene where her anger and sadness boil over in the living room and she asks if she will ever be loved, it is devastating. But there's one monologue that Hathaway delivers at an AA meeting that is such an emotional gut punch, Ryan, that I had to pause the movie and go kiss my children in their beds. And I'm not just saying that, I really did it. I think the mark of a great actor is delivering that emotion so convincingly that one needs to remind oneself that the tragedy in this case is only fictional. The story's title at first appears to be a misnomer, as the movie seems to be about Kim, Hathaway's character, but I think the true message is the catharsis that Kim was able to give Rachel by simply being there and not making it about herself for a change. It's very telling that at the end of the movie, it lingers on Rachel alone. Recovery is a long road, and this movie is one that anyone who is an addict or the family member of an addict should see.
We don't want to spoil the movie, right? So
sure.
We talked about this before.
This movie's old. We can't spoil it.
But we don't want to go into full spoilers. I mean, there's spoilers and then there's full spoilers, right? So we'll dance around the full spoilers. But in a nutshell, we are talking about a character here, Kim, Anne Hathaway, in rehab, who has done something and had tragic events in her life when
suffice
she goes
it
back
to say
home.
She's living with tremendous guilt.
Right. And I think it's just such an honest performance and such a natural performance that it doesn't feel like we're watching a movie. And you had mentioned at the beginning of this that a lot of it has to do with Demme's idea of going with these handheld cameras to give us a little bit of a documentary type feel, to give us the feel that we're in with this family celebrating, you know, this wedding,
right,
but also the recovery of Kim.
I don't think this movie is about the recovery of Kim at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
Okay, well, partially.
Oh, but now you're backtracking.
I'm backtracking only a little bit. It's really about Rachel. Kim's a pivotal character, but what she has to learn in the film is that it's not about her and get over herself enough to just be there and not be the center of attention at her sister's wedding. And that's when she finally ascends, transforms, gets over it. At least partially.
Mm. Now, the sister we should mention here is played by Rosemarie DeWitt,
mm-hmm,
who I have to say this. A lot of times you see actresses cast in movies, and they're never as believable as I think these two sisters could be. I'm calling them sisters here, as these two actresses could be as sisters. I found them, their relationship, completely believable because you do see that time and time again, where a younger sibling is trying to get the attention from an older sibling. There's jealousy involved. All the things that...
Well, there's slightly more going on
right,
in this family.
There is. But all of the things that I think growing up in a family, and I only have one sibling, but people know and can relate to what was going on, at least to some level of that
yeah,
sibling rivalry, sibling seeking attention.
Yeah. Dad's always protected you and defended you and blah, blah, blah. And I just don't get it. And to be completely honest, man, I see this in my own children. And I'm sure that everybody listening who has kids or is a kid with siblings can totally relate to this. It was absolutely a very honest and relatable performance from both actors.
Mm-hmm. Some of the subtle hints that what happened to the family.
Mm.
I like that the film takes a little time and it's not just hit you right over the head. We have this moment,
right,
obviously, where it opens with her in rehab coming home. We know there's been some type of issue. But the first time that the name Ethan is mentioned in the film, and yeah, Demme cuts to a scene showing Anne Hathaway's face and her reaction, and she has this expression on her face. It's just harrowing. It's sad. It conveys so much. And at that point in the movie, you're intrigued as well. So there's something that draws you in because you want to know exactly what transpired, what happened. But also, you can already feel the sadness that Anna Hathaway is looming. Everything's looming around this character that she has.
Right. Yeah. And it's a character that's not in the film in person, just talked about. And man, holy crap. It floored me, dude. It really did. Are we going to talk about Deborah Winger?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Okay.
Before we get there, though, a scene also that takes place early on in the movie is when Kim opens up a bedroom door that, again, we now realize at the end of the film, this must have been Ethan's room at some point.
I wonder if that character... Okay, that's the one thing. I wonder if her as a character, given her history, would have opened that door. You know, that's a bold thing to do. Like, there's all kinds of nostalgia because I think, and this is a minor spoiler here, but, you know, we assume at least at first that this was her room, right?
Thought that the same thing, yes.
Yeah. And everybody has that moment when you know, you move out of your parents' house, but for some reason they keep your room exactly the way it was when you were a teenager and you can walk back into it. And that's a pleasant feeling, a little nostalgic and, you know, sort of a bittersweet feeling, but everybody's done that. But in the light of the movie, the room that she's entering, I don't know that she opens that door.
Mm.
I don't know.
But maybe her character doesn't realize that the room is going to be the same. So maybe she's opening that door thinking that the room has changed. Maybe it's a den
reaching.
Now. I don't know.
I think you're reaching. There's no way that room would change.
Mm. All right. So on to three amazing scenes in this film, as we break it down a little bit further here, and we will get to Deborah Winger, who plays the
The mom.
In the film. But up first is the rehearsal dinner scene. And this scene
is fantastic.
Is amazing. Watching it a second time, I remember the feeling of being nervous and the tension growing.
Holy crap. It's almost like a horror movie. Right. You have to look away. Right.
You know, I remember having that watching this in the theater. And here I was watching it a second time and I could feel it building again. Because what has happened here is we know that Rachel is going to want to speak. It's one of these scenes where microphones are being passed between these families, Rachel's family.
It's a rehearsal dinner, so everyone gets up and says a little word or two.
And the tension's building because we, the viewer, know at some point Kim, Anne Hathaway, is going to get that mic and is going to talk.
Well, you can see her salivating.
And we don't know exactly what she's going to say.
Well, it could be anything.
She's
a bit of a loose cannon at this point in the movie.
We're so worried about it because I think we care so much about these characters already at that point. It builds so much tension.
Yeah.
What a wonderful scene.
You think it's going to be one way. And man, it grabs you, just grabs you by the collar of your shirt. And the tension that Demi is able to achieve. And I think, again, this goes to the handheld because this, in parts, I say it's filmed like a documentary, but also a horror movie. It had that horror feel. Like it really, I was scared. I looked away. I almost wanted to walk away. One quick character point. This is a bit of a side. I really liked that Kim's character, Anne Hathaway's character, Kim, is into punk rock. We see a Misfits poster in her room.
I knew you would like that.
Yeah. And later on, she gets a cigar box of memories out to look at some old photos. And there's a Sex Pistols sticker on top. I dug that little touch.
Yeah. But the rehearsal dinner, because Kim is so outspoken, that tension rises. I just love that scene. Another showstopper was Kim at an AA meeting, and it's a much longer scene in the movie. And this is when she's detailing an accident and a main pivotal moment in this film. And it is just as powerful as you can get, as sad as you can get.
Dude.
And it just flows off the screen, and it's a weeper of a moment.
Yeah, I legitimately had to take a moment as a full-grown man who's sort of a seasoned moviegoer, you know, doesn't flinch at some of the scariest horror movies of the year, and remind myself that what I was watching was fiction in order to get over it. I think emotional gut punch has been used before plenty of times, but this sort of defines that statement. It really hit me so hard. I was like, oh my God, I almost couldn't take it. I almost couldn't take it. And I did pause the movie for a second to take a breath and go into my kid's room just to have a little bit of a moment with them. It's a devastating monologue. And yeah, it's heavy. Heavy, but great.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, so well acted. And again, it doesn't feel like it's that they're trying
that Oscar
to act
moment.
Through the scene.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Where they're crying,
so
you
got to
turn on the waterworks.
Feels so natural.
It's just
scene.
Real. Yes.
It really is. And then speaking of real, speaking of natural, and speaking of great explosive scenes, this is when we get to Deborah Winger. The first time she arrives, we realize that I think that Kim's a little nervous around her, doesn't feel herself, you pick up on. And you realize there's some tension between these two. And it finally comes to a head in a scene that is, I mean, how do you explain it? It's one of the better acted scenes of just pure emotion that I've ever seen, to be absolutely honest.
Well, I think Deborah Winger wins the scene. The emotions, okay, it's a fraught scene, to say the least, without giving anything away here. The two characters are talking about a family history and a tragedy that has befallen them that is, you know, just cuts them both to the absolute bone. And Kim comes in firing at her mom, backs her into an emotional corner. And what you see on Deborah Winger's face is such a rare performance. This is one for the ages. How she didn't get an Oscar nomination for this is just completely beyond me. Because if you look at her eyes during this scene, you see love, rage, regret, everything. And it's just like clear as day on her face. In just a few short moments. And
so
then,
true.
And it boils over to a physical altercation that, you know, there's immediate regret. And then, you know, it goes on from there. It's just a wonderful, wonderful performance.
Absolutely. That scene, it popped up again. And again, having seen the film, I was just like, wow, I remember being wowed when I saw it. And
it's
I was
Winger,
wowed
right?
again. It was, yep.
She's great. And incredible. The way she plays from there
I
on,
I like them both
too.
In there. But I do like that the film, I mean, the story as a whole is showing how complicated that relationship is, because it's not something, this isn't a movie where at the very end, hey, they're gonna play right. a board game, have a few hugs, and everybody's happy at the end of the movie.
We worked it all out, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no easy solution to what these characters are in, and the film doesn't try to present that either. And I appreciate the hell out of that.
Me too.
Loved that aspect of it. And in fact, to show you how I think realistic and natural the movie is, there's a scene in there with a dishwasher, and the new family members that have sort of married into the family are going to take a challenge to the father of the
right.
Kim He's, and Rachel of yeah. who can load the dishwasher the fastest
or better.
I've never heard of anything like this, but it just feels so natural because you could see a family doing something goofy like
sure,
this.
Sure, dads
correct?
Are often perfectionists about the way they do things in their house.
And so even that, you have this great scene where it feels real. It feels so commonplace and you're loving the moment that these two families are bonding together, but yet there's a moment there where
we're reminded of the tragedy.
Right. Yes. Pops up. And as much love as in that room, that still is a cloud over everything.
The air just gets let out.
Oh, my God. It's crushing. It's like you're loving this moment, and then you're crushed by the same exact
right,
moment.
Right, because there are some really upbeat and comedic moments in the movie, which make the emotional beats that much stronger.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I sure do. Sure do. The only criticism I have, and it might not even be that big of a criticism, because the wedding celebration is not a traditional wedding
I'm glad
ceremony.
You bring this up. Okay, let's hear this.
And so, again, even preparing, I watched this maybe 2 weeks ago for when I wrote this down, but then I watched highlights again as I was fine-tuning my notes, Matt, if you will. And I love the vows, for instance. He sings, the
that
groom
Neil
sings.
Young song.
The vows, right?
An unknown legend, yes.
Love that moment. Yeah. What a moment in the movie. It's fantastic.
It's a very non-traditional wedding.
Correct.
They have it at the house. Yeah.
But I think it lingers too long. Literally, the celebration goes for about 15 minutes of the movie. Is that fair?
That is fair.
Yeah.
It might even be a little longer than that.
I'm talking, there's almost no dialogue, right? I mean, like dialogue of moving the story along. It's really just the celebration of the wedding.
Well,
which
it is the name of the movie. This is, I love this. The name of the movie is Rachel Getting Married, okay? So don't be surprised right. when Rachel gets married in the movie. I think that's exactly the whole point mm-hmm. of the story. That Kim, who has been this acerbic sort of smart mouth fuck up, for lack of a better term, who's always quick to with a one-liner and a barb and an insult and really defends herself verbally very well, never shuts up, always wants to be the center of attention, has gotten to a point emotionally where she is just literally and physically and metaphorically beaten down, realizes that it's not about her. And that vacuum is absolutely necessary to balance out the first two-thirds of the movie, the first two-and-a-half-thirds of the movie. Because it is an extended scene, but I think it's entertaining. I saw this criticism a lot as I was researching after I watched the movie, that the wedding scene goes on for too long. I don't think so. I think it goes on exactly as long as it needed to show Rachel's being there, but not being the center of that time. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
No, it does. It does. Because it was more something that I reflected on afterwards, too, because I wrote down in my journal while watching the movie, like, very long. You know, like, it feels like maybe it's too long. But for all the reasons that you're saying, it's there and presented in that way for a reason.
And even in that scene, they keep cutting to Deborah Winger because this is after their altercation. And she wants to have a reconciliation or at least a confrontation, right? Because she's a confrontational person.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get that.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm glad we don't, because that would have been too satisfying.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. The film plays it almost in too real, and that I'm applauding it for it, because that's how it would happen. You wouldn't get the big showy confrontational moment at the end.
Yeah.
When there's a ceremony like that, and Deborah Winger, the mom, decides to cut out, it feels like Kim's not satisfied with her just leaving. You know, nobody is. They want to have a little bit more, but that's how it works, right? People leave, and they leave that wedding, and that's where it lingers. That's where it stands.
And it's good that she didn't have that competition.
I agree.
It's healthier for her in the long run.
The movie has a great hug scene at the end, and it's, you can feel it. You can feel the love there.
Yeah, there is. Listen, I think we've been lingering on the tragedy and sadness of this movie, but I think where it leaves us is at least somewhat uplifting. If we're not completely at the end of the tunnel, we can see the light for Rachel and for Kim.
I agree. We've heard time and time again as guests came in here saying that this was Anne Hathaway's best performance. You seeing it for the first time, I throw it over to you. Are you won over by Rachel getting married?
You know, I should have expected that question, but I honestly haven't pondered it. Well, I mean, it sure as hell ain't The Princess Diaries, right? I sort of loved hating her in Interstellar, but I guess, it might just be.
I think so as well.
It's tough to point to another one that's clearly up there with this.
I say this, Jawheads, and I really mean it. A lot of times you see a showy performance where it feels acted. This doesn't feel acted. It's a great performance, but it feels natural.
It does.
It really does.
And that's partly because of the filmmaking choices, I really think.
I agree. But I highly recommend checking this one out. Did you do a movie poster quote for it?
I did. A broken family slowly picking up the painful pieces of recovery. What'd you get?
I went with, come for the wedding, stay for Hathaway's best performance.
Okay.
How many Jaws, Matt Kay?
I give this 3.5 Jaws.
There you go. I'm 3.5 Jaws as well.
Yeah. This is a damn near perfect movie. It's very, very good. It's got a couple of minor flaws, and that's it.
As of the time of this recording, Jawheads, this was streaming as part of your subscription to Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you can go on there and check it. If you don't, it's available anywhere you can find movie streaming.
It's not tough to find.
Right.
Yeah.
Let us know what you thought of this review and the movie as a whole. Write us feedback at cinemajaw.com, or you can always shoot us a simple tweet at cinemajaw.
Yeah, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Hey, we love these sidecar reviews. Until next week, I'm Ryan the Movie Guy.
I'm Matt Kay, and keep on jawing about the movies.
Start the clock, but that was short, huh?
I mean, 20 minutes.